struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm here today with Isaac Bellin, the mastermind behind 12B Capital, 12B Gives, the Veteran Entrepreneur Alliance, and Bellin Navali Solutions. I mean, is there anything else you do, Isaac?
Sleep when I have time.
You have time? How are you doing today? All the way from Idaho. I love getting on the chat. This isn't the first time we've talked or met. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Give us a little bit of background. So what we're going to talk about in this episode is 12B Gives and how to fund your nonprofit using a credit card processing system that we'll get to here in a little bit. But why don't you tell us how you got to that journey, Isaac?
I'm what you would call an accidental entrepreneur. It's what I refer to myself as. After my time in the military, I found myself really struggling and trying to figure out what the next thing was. I went to work. I remember it vividly. I had just come off of a shoulder surgery at the VA. I was slightly doped up and received a phone call. I had applied for a job on Craigslist as an appointment setter at some company. I didn't really know much about it, but I knew I needed to get some money coming in because my unemployment was running out. And so I took a job setting appointments for this credit card processing company. And I quickly realized that I was really good at interacting with these business owners. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So I won't go into the extended version of it. I pretty quickly climbed the ranks there. And by the end of my time there, I spent about 6 years. I was the VP of sales and marketing, running a sales team of about a dozen guys, inside sales guys. And I was making a bunch of money, but I was miserable because no matter how hard I worked to be honest and reputable in my interactions with customers, if the company itself was fundamentally flawed, I was never going to be able to do things quite the way I wanted to do them. So my wife and I talked and we decided that we should go out on our own. And if we wanted to make a positive impact on our community and our customers, that we could only do it if it was our own beast. So we started 12B Capital with the idea that credit card processing in general as a service is broken. There are a lot of really kind of shiesty people out there doing it. And it's really easy to do. It's really easy to get one over on business owners because credit card processing is a confusing service. Mm-hmm. And it's an ever-changing service. So we went into it with the idea that we would offer the best rates we possibly could. And then rather than it just being a way for us to secure our future, we wanted it to be a way to give back to our community and give back to the people that were doing good things. So we launched a program called 12B Gives with the idea that we could give a portion of our proceeds back to nonprofit organizations to help them spend less time fundraising and paying for that fundraising and more time focusing in on their mission. So we started giving 10% of our proceeds back to nonprofits, and we didn't ask them for anything. We didn't need them to give us a monthly payment, or we didn't need them to go out hitting the streets and working for us. We just wanted warm introductions to business owners that they knew already supported them and that would like to save money at the same time.
That's just fantastic. And I know I told you earlier today, but I have been plugging your services on the show for quite some time because it just makes sense. We used, before I met you, we used a similar company, a similar style of approach here in Oklahoma City. And we had a local junior college sign on, and just through credit card processing, think through bookstore sales and lunch counter sales and football games and other sporting events, swiping that card, this junior college saving money through a new credit card processor, and also even skimming 10% off of that to give to our foundation. It fully funded our foundation with one sale from one individual to convince one board to say, yep, that's a great idea. We're going to do that. We're going to save money and help someone at the same time. So now the school gets to say that they promote this foundation with every purchase. which is great for them because it shows them that they look fantastic. And then the foundation benefits because the foundation doesn't have to do all this other work to get funding to come in. And then
it's a beautiful thing because businesses, they want to support nonprofits, right? And at the same time, they want to save money. Business owners are always looking for ways to cut costs. And so one of their bigger costs is their credit card processing. It's one of those services that they have to survive in this day and age. If you don't have an electronic form of payment option, people are going to stop shopping with you. So to be able to go to that business and say, hey, you can give back to this nonprofit, and not only is it not going to cost you any money, you're going to put more money back in your pocket every month. It's a no-brainer.
Oh yeah. Hey, I'm going to give you more money to build your business and do what you need to do to be successful while without taking any money out of your pocket. You're also going to be able to show that you're supporting a fantastic nonprofit that's doing great things that are meeting their mission while also getting the win-win-win here. The third eight, you know, agent is yourself are able to put, you know, food on your table. Everyone wins. It's how could you not love this process?
Absolutely.
So you are definitely entrepreneur minded and you were trying to put together like a conference on entrepreneurship and that turned into this whole other thing. What tell us about the Veteran Entrepreneur Alliance.
When my time in the military was over, I found myself struggling to find a new purpose and kind of a new sense of connection. And I realized at some point that it was entrepreneurship that gave that back to me. I found it through entrepreneurship, through continuing my service by serving small business owners. And I was able to find connection through the networking and the relationships that I built through the business. And it hit me one day that I wasn't alone. I mean, a lot of us try to go it alone sometimes, right? But veterans in general, have kind of that, oh crap moment. What's next? What do I do now? Some of the best friends you've ever made in your life are now spread to the four corners, right? And this mission that you have taken on a lot of your adult life is now over. And like I said, I was able to answer that question and find a solution through entrepreneurship. And I wanted to offer that same opportunity to other men and women who were looking for it. Mm-hmm. And so I came up with this harebrained scheme that I was going to put on a one-day event that would bring veterans and business professionals into the same room to teach veterans what they needed to know and what they needed to do to launch their journey into entrepreneurship. I knew that I wasn't the one to teach them because I did it completely the wrong way. I just like banged my head against the wall, like trying to do everything on my own and figuring it out and Googling and doing all this stuff. And so I brought in, well, to start, I hadn't put on an event ever. So I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So I just started talking to everyone that I could think of that might know how to do it. And eventually I ended up sitting in front of a bank, called Zions Bank. They're a big, bank over on this side of the world. And they jumped on immediately. They thought that it was a fantastic idea. They donated the 17th floor event space at their big building here in Boise to us. And they even helped us bring in all of our sponsors. So everything was paid for. And we put on our first event in September of 2018. And it was incredible. I was there at like 4 a.m. pacing around, like convinced that it was all going to burn down. The mayor ditched down on us at the last minute. He was supposed to be our keynote speaker. Like, I was like, this is going to be terrible. I know it. It's never going to work. And it just went off without a hitch. It was fantastic. And I knew like, man, I've got something here. I've got something. Seeing the excitement that I felt inside about what I was doing reflected in the eyes of the people that I was talking to about it was just unbelievable. So at the conclusion of the event, a guy named Will came to me. He was an attorney for one of our sponsors. He was also a former JAG for the 82nd. He came to me and he said, listen, this was amazing. Have you ever thought about launching a nonprofit? And I said, I have, but I don't have any clue where to even start. And he said, well, good for you. My firm is very well versed in doing that. And we have a shit pile of money to help do it. So at that moment, I kind of lean in.
Dream is you walk around with your ideas and people are like, oh, I'd love to jump on board. Here's our 17th floor. And by the way, here's a law firm that knows how to do everything for you. That's right. The dream, right? You're living the dream right now, Isaac.
Absolutely. So I obviously at that point I'm leaning in like, tell me more, sir. And I mean, the rest is kind of history. They came on board. They helped us get our 501c3. We did it the easy route, which was supposed to take us about 8 weeks is what I was told it was going to take. We got it in 12 days. So like everything, it was like, I'm not a religious guy, but I am like a karma guy. And I feel like I must have put enough good stuff out into the universe because it all just started piling back on me. And we just hit the ground running. Since then, we held our second event last year. It was amazing. We brought in some fantastic speakers and sponsors and veterans. And we've got some really great success stories of kind of the impact we've had on some of the entrepreneurs. And unfortunately, because of COVID this year, we had to cancel our event and we haven't been able to hold any in-person events. Hopefully we can get back to that soon. But it's just been such, from a selfish standpoint, it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. Being able to look out into the crowd and see these people that are looking for kind of that next big thing in their life, that thing that is going to set them on the course for the rest of their lives. It's amazing to be able to do it.
It's a great feeling. It's one of the selfish reasons that I do this. I'm just going to go ahead and steal some of the airtime here. I haven't done this on the air, I don't believe yet, but my story is 50 moves where I'm at right now. It was 36 before I graduated high school, 12 schools, 6 states, 5 foster homes. I survived 2 murder attempts and went to jail, which is, you know, the kind of childhood that just everyone's looking for. Absolutely. It was horrendous. It was not fun. It was not great at all. But what happened is throughout all that time, there was always some person, some organization, some group, some charity, some church that was willing to help our family out. We had clothes, we had food, we had shelter just about every day growing up. And then when I finally got to a place where I wasn't in that scarcity mode, where I wasn't in that survival mode, I was like, I think I'm home now. Is this what home feels like? And like, what do people like? There's a community out there. How do I be part of the community? What do people in communities do? And I started getting involved with nonprofits and got on a couple of boards, helped start a dozen or so nonprofits, gave 20 grand of our own money, volunteered 1,500 hours of my time, and helped raise $500,000. The nonprofit world was just wonderful. And I got to Bahrain last year and started this podcast. And I think by the time this thing's released, I'll have been a year in operation. But this podcast is a way for me to help the helpers, to help the people, the type of people that would have helped me when I was growing up. It's a little bit selfish, right? Because I get that good feeling. It's wonderful because I'm sharing the knowledge. I get, you know, great experts on board like Isaac here to come share his story and his nonprofit journey. And 12 Begives was just incredible. But it's really important to know the why and understand the why and to connect with people that can help deliver that, whether it's selfish reasons or not. I don't think it's too selfish. But as most people in the military understand, it's the life of service that is of the greatest value. And when we get back to the civilian world, many of us lose this life of service. I'm still in. I'm going to find out soon enough. Hopefully this is a thing that carries me on and I'm continuing to serve people that are providing services, people that are running nonprofits and doing great things. So I don't feel bad for you. That's a little self-serving. The Veteran Entrepreneur Alliance makes you feel good. It's supposed to make you feel good. That's what nonprofit service is about.
If it doesn't make you feel good, you're probably not doing the right thing. So
it's hard to disagree with that. So if someone wants to get on board, I've got nonprofits listening to this right now and they're like, well, 12 Big Give sounds great, but how do I make that connection? Is it a lot of work for me as the nonprofit to do something like this? Like, how do they get a business on board with you at 12 Big Gives or what you're doing and then getting a check every month? What does that look like?
So the one thing I wanted to do with this above all else is I didn't want to add another thing, another payment, another task, another heartache or headache to an already long list of things that nonprofits have to do on a daily basis. So 12B Gives, I want to be very clear, it does not cost a nonprofit a single cent. The only commitment and the only investment that I need from a nonprofit that wants to benefit from this is just a little bit of your time. And when I say that, at least initially, I jump on the phone with you guys and I let you know exactly what the process is going to look like. That way, if the question comes up when you're talking to a supporter, you have the answers. But other than that, I need a warm introduction. That's it. I don't need you to do paperwork. I don't need you to convince somebody that it's a good deal. I just need you to introduce somebody to the idea. And then if they're even remotely interested in hearing more, you say, let me get you with the guy that has all the answers. And I will get on the phone with them and I run them through the process. I run them through how our program works. And then it's really just doing an assessment. I do an assessment of the business owner's current processor. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, this is what you're paying today with your existing setup. This is what you would be paying if you were with us. I give them a real world view. Say, you know, it's August. So I would look at their July statement and I say, you paid $600 last month for processing. Had you been with us, you would have paid $500 or $550, whatever it might be. And then it's really up to them to say, okay, is it worth it to save $50 a month and kick back a percentage of that to this nonprofit that I care about? And if it is, then great. Mm-hmm. The business owner will continue to get that great rate for as long as they're with us. And the nonprofit will continue to get that check in the mail every single month, as long as that account is with us.
Now, is there a certain like amount of revenue that really makes this transition that really gives you that bang for your buck? Or can you just do it with anybody that's doing processing?
We can do it for anybody that's processing. Really, the sweet spot, though, is there are a lot of people in the credit card world that absolutely hate Square and Stripe and all of these other companies that offer their flat rate services, the easy button for credit card processing. If you're doing less than $25,000 a month in sales, you might be better off with one of those systems, because you avoid some of the ancillary fees, PCI compliance, and some other things. But if you're doing more than $25,000 in processing, you should be looking at someone like 12B Capital, because flat rate works to a degree. But once you hit that $25,000 mark, you're most likely paying a dramatic amount more than you should be on your processing.
Okay, that makes sense. So what, I'm a nonprofit, I'm out looking at my buddies or people that I know support me. What kind of businesses have you had sign up through 12B Gives?
Gosh, lots. So everybody from gun companies to daycares to schools, yogurt shops, I mean, anything you could possibly think of. Really, things in the service industry are typically great target. So restaurants, coffee shops, things like that. But a lot of online businesses too are getting overcharged for their processing. So online businesses. So the gun company that one of the gun companies that I have on board, the guy does around $750,000 a month in sales online. Right. And he was just getting absolutely hammered on his credit card processing. So the guy was nervous, right? Most business owners are nervous about moving their processing because they've been programmed to believe that moving your processing is always going to be a painful process. It's complicated. You can't trust the person you're moving to, all of that, right? I am here to tell you today that very rarely is it a hassle to move your processing, especially online, because it's a simple API. It is just programming, taking the programming from the one processor out of the back end of your system and plugging a new one in. The most complications that come with credit card processing are usually equipment based. Mm-hmm. And that's because face-to-face brick and mortar businesses, when they get started, they get sold into point of sale systems that are oftentimes proprietary. So what that means is that the point of sale system A decided that when they launched, mm-hmm. that they wanted to partner with credit card processing company A, regardless of what the fees were to their customers, because they're getting a kickback on the back end. So in exchange for getting that kickback, the point of sale company says, nobody else can reprogram this equipment ever. So a lot of business owners run into a little bit of heartache because they say, well, I've invested, you know, $1,500 into this equipment. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend more money or throw this thing out, right? My response there to try to at least alleviate the concern or alleviate the pain is just, would you rather save that $1,500 or feel better about that $1,500 and continue paying more every single month for the rest of the time you're in business? Or would you like to stop the bleeding today? And let's say I'm only saving you $100 a month. In 15 months, you paid that off and you're going to continue. How long are you planning on being in business? 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it is. Would you rather save that money over the long term than hang on to this piece of equipment that you've invested in? So it is tough. And I mean, I hate having that conversation and I wish I could give away everything for free because that's the kind of guy I am, but...
That's the kind of guy people hope I am too with the business yeah. side of what I do. They're like, oh, you don't just give away your time, energy, effort, coaching.
Like, I gotta eat.
I gotta eat. I gotta feed the kids. They like eating probably as much as I do. And I like eating 3-4 times a day. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much I do it every day. But so I'm a nonprofit. I've got a buddy that owns a restaurant. Hey, if I could save you money on every swipe and give you more money back for you to build your business and help us out at the same time without any money really changing hands, would you be interested? And they'd be like, yeah, I'd love to save money on every swipe. Cool. Yep. Let me connect you with my pal Isaac and he'll get it set up. And the best part about it is he sacrifices a portion of his profit. It's going to come directly to us. And then we'll give you this nice little plaque that says that you support our nonprofit. And it's going to be right there on display. So these local companies, these local businesses, these local franchises can say that, hey, with every sale, a portion goes to benefit your nonprofit. They're getting the benefit of showcasing that they're helping the local community without any money out of their pocket, all these swipes. And the nonprofit gets the benefit of being supported by someone that's making money without any money coming out of their pocket. And if you get on board like $750,000 a month, I'm sure 10% of whatever that cut is a healthy chunk of money.
Yep. And so you hit the nail on the head with the recognition the business can get too. I always tell business owners it's an additional marketing opportunity. It's a feel-good marketing opportunity where every single time somebody walks into your business, make sure that you're displaying that prominently, saying, hey, every time you swipe your card, a portion of that sale is going to support and have, you know, insert nonprofit here, like a picture of that depicts their mission, right? And then people feel good, or at least better, right, about swiping that card.
Well, like in Oklahoma City here, there's a little like Midwest Trophy Company. You can spend between, you know, $20 and $50 as a nonprofit and make a fantastic looking plaque that's going to show that the business is supporting you. And you put that right up by the register, then everyone If they get 100 people, 500 people a day, and you're a local nonprofit, that's visibility that you're going to get as a nonprofit that people would never would have seen you before are going to have lunch at this place and be like, hey, did you hear about XYZ nonprofit? Yeah, my buddy over here changed his thing over and he's supporting them all day long. I wonder what they're doing. And you can have a link to your organization posted right there on that picture to find out more information about how wonderful you are. You can have that marketing opportunity for the local nonprofit as well.
And it, absolutely. And we've all seen it. There are people doing at the checkout, right? We've all seen at the grocery store where the grocery store is asking the customer, like, would you like to donate this amount or would you like to round this up to $2 to support this mission? And with this program, I mean, those programs are great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they do a lot of good. But with this program, you don't have to ask your customers for anything.
They already agreed to it when they swipe their card. No, they're already in their pocket either. But I've seen what you're talking about. I've seen it at grocery stores. I've seen it at Firestone. I saw it in Bahrain in the airplanes. The first ad that came up, because it's a state-run airline, was for their nonprofit to help fund medical expenses for kids in need in Bahrain. And it was on their airline. There's no limit to where you can put your stuff to get it in front of people, but not if you don't ask. Not if you're not building relationships with people and getting out there and talking. You have to be willing to talk about what you do. And if you're not willing to talk about what you do, do you even believe in it?
Amen. Yeah.
So I got to say, Isaac, I love what you're doing. We've been chatting back and forth for a couple of years now, and I hope it goes a couple of years longer. Where can people get a hold of you? Where can people get the sweet details on 12B Gives?
So 12B Gives, you can always reach me at Isaac@12bcapital.com. That's ISAAC at 12bcapital.com. There's information there on the website about it. But if I'm being honest, I prefer having real conversations. Reading text on a website is only so valuable. You can also find me on Facebook at 12B Capital, at our business page. Just chat me there. Connect with me on Facebook, Isaac Belden. And I'm sure that if you go to Travis Johnson's page, the nonprofit architect page, I'm sure he can share some of that when he posts the podcast. But I love having conversations with people. I love out-of-the-box solutions. That's one of the things I love about Travis is... Yeah, there's nothing cookie cutter. Like, he's out there, he's looking for real solutions that are outside of the norm that nonprofits can do to maximize the amount of good that they can do for the communities and for the people that they serve. And there's a lot of people out there that need support, and those people that are willing to take the time out of their day to do it, you got to love them. And anything that I can do to support those people that are willing to put in addition to a lot of times their normal jobs, their family obligations, whatever it might be, they're willing to work and get down in the trenches and make these things happen. And I can tell you, being a nonprofit founder myself, it's not easy. I do it around running two businesses. I'm actually a full-time student. I'm graduating next semester because I decided to finally finish college.
Congrats.
And then finding time to be a husband and a dad and then sleep when I have time. So thank you to anybody that's listening to this that runs a nonprofit, because I know that your job isn't easy and you choose to do it anyways. And anything that I can do, and I know Travis feels the same way, anything that he can do to support these missions, you know, I'm there.
Thanks so much. I think this has been fantastic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.